Support for this public radio podcast comes from KeyBank, focused knowledge, customized solutions, and the resources of an entire bank. Because the best solutions fit around a business's needs. More at key.com/corporate. And by BNY Mellon Wealth Management. Since 1784, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. Information at BNYMellonWealthManagement.com.
Waiting for a treat from the Fed.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. The Fed begins its two-day meeting on interest rates this morning. Wall Street thinks another rate cut is a slam dunk. The Fed cut by a half point in mid-September. Now predictions are a quarter point cut is in the bag. The stock market applauded the idea of lower interest rates yesterday. The Dow picked up 63 to 13,870. The S&P tacked on 5. The NASDAQ rose 13 points. Stock markets in Asia were down overnight after some weak earnings were reported. And in Europe, sagging banking shares are leading the markets lower. One of the largest banks in Europe is reporting its first quarterly loss in nearly 5 years. Like its brethren, UBS was stung by failed investments in subprime mortgages. We have more from London and Stephen Beard.
UBS is the world's biggest manager of private wealth, but it hasn't been doing a terrific job managing its own money. The bank lost $600 million in the third quarter. No mystery about the source of the red ink. UBS has written off $3.5 billion worth of dodgy mortgage-backed securities. The bank warns of further write-downs in the final quarter. These results say something about the whole credit crunch, says analyst David Buick. The crisis might be far from over.
Nobody has any idea what these trashed securities are worth because we don't know the full extent of the damage that the housing crisis in the United States is causing. So to be particularly upbeat at this moment is probably folly.
More bad news is expected later this week. Two other major European banks, Deutsche Bank and Credit Suisse, report their third quarter figures. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Of the women working in the private equity and hedge fund businesses, three-quarters say their gender holds them back in their careers. That's according to a new survey by Financial News Online. We have more from Jill Barchet.
Banks used to have a bad rap with women. These days, it's private equity and hedge funds who are having a diversity problem. Tara Loda Wilkinson surveyed 1,000 women working in finance in the United Kingdom.
Private equity is a very aggressive industry. There is a lot of macho ego involved.
Maternity leave is harder to get in private equity, where staffs are small and stretched thin. It's the same in the U.S. Dipali Bhagati is the research director at Catalyst, a group that supports women in business.
Women cite certain barriers to advancement, including, you know, lack of mentors, commitment to personal and family responsibilities, exclusion from networks, lack of role models, and all of those things make it very hard for them to advance.
Bhagati says some Wall Street firms are changing their ways. Catalyst recently awarded Goldman Sachs its top prize for promoting more women to senior posts. In New York, I'm Jill Barchet for Marketplace.
We knew Google had plans for a new cell phone. The Wall Street Journal reports it could be unveiled within the next 2 weeks. Google wants you to do more with your cell phone when accessing the internet, maps, social networking, and video sharing. Google phones are expected to hit the market next year. Now, the company has already spoken to some handset makers, and Google is also looking to partner with a wireless operator.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by BNY Mellon Wealth Management. Since 1784, helping successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. BNYMellonWealthManagement.com. By Grant Thornton, dedicated to serving their clients worldwide with a passion for the business of accounting. On the web at grantthornton.com. And by A.G. Edwards, caring for nest eggs for more than 120 years, with a commitment to provide objective financial advice.
The U.S. Patent and Trademark Office has a growing backlog of applications for new patents. Nearly 800,000 are in the queue. So the office developed new rules to streamline the process. They're scheduled to take effect Thursday. But a lawsuit is threatening to prevent those changes from happening. Jeremy Hobson reports.
The point of the rule changes would be to simplify applications that can be thousands of pages long. That would save examiners time, and the changes would also limit the number of times rejected applications can be refiled. Right now, there is no limit.
And so people would be looking at the same exact file for the 16th time.
That's the Patent Office's Deputy Director, Margaret Peterlin. She says one change would cap the number of an invention's features that an applicant can claim as unique. This would affect pharmaceutical companies that have complicated inventions and often apply for patents early in the invention process. John Damaris is an attorney with GlaxoSmithKline. The company sued to block the changes.
They shouldn't be harming the public by creating disincentives for big pharmaceutical companies to invent and protect their invention.
Damaris says the changes would lead to cuts in research and development. He says if the patent office can't handle the demand, it should hire more examiners. The office already hires 1,200 a year, but keeping examiners in their jobs is tough, given the nature of the work.
Day in, day out, unrelenting stress.
Robert Budens is president of the Examiners Union. He's been a biotech examiner for the last 17 years.
If we could retain the people we hire, then we can turn that corner on the backlog. Examiners need more time. We need to have the time and the resources to be able to do the job right the first time.
Budens' claims are reinforced by a recent report, which found that for every two patent examiners the agency hired, one left. But Margaret Peterlin says hiring and retention alone won't fix the problem. She says the rules changes are vital to decreasing the paperwork.
It's not one lever that you're trying to switch here. There are many elements of it where you're always looking at constant improvements, constant design changes.
But for examiners and companies with a vested interest, the jury is still out. In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
For the last year, a couple near Pittsburgh has been trying to sell their home. $400,000 for a four-bedroom. These days, it's been tough luck. So the couple, Bob and Ricky Husick, have come up with a deal. Buy the house now, and when Bob and Ricky pass away, get a full cash rebate. And if the buyer agrees to care for them in old age, inherit the couple's retirement home in Arizona. In Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening. Make it a good day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.